We're in the third parak of a Chavos Avavos Shahar Bitachon. The Chavos Avavos explained why did the Ribono Shel Olam make it that we must be mishtadel for the things that we need in this world. And he gave two explanations. One is a test to see if we mishtadel in the permitted fashion or not. Do we follow the halacha or not? And the second is, if a person would not need to mishtadel, then he'll have too much free time in his hands and he will do things he shouldn't be doing. And therefore he goes on to say that if a person has proven himself as a true Oved Hashem, he does everything the right way, and he wants to pursue the Dveikus of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, then the Ribono Shel Olam makes it easier for him that his Ishtadlus does not take up so much of his time, so that he can be free to just pursue his Avodas Hashem. At this point, the Chavos Avavos asks the question that has been asked many times, Vim Yomar HaOymer. So a person is going to say, Hine Anachnu Ro'im Miksa Tzadikim. We see there are tzaddikim who we would think should not be required to toil for their parnasa and the like, and yet they don't have parnasa. They have to toil and struggle. And on the other hand, we find people who are sinners who are tranquil and peaceful. They live very nice, pleasant lives. It's all backwards, topsy-turvy. Neymar. To answer this question, we will say, this question goes back to the Nevi'im, to the Chasidim, who tried to figure this out. There are those who said, why is it that the Rishoyim are successful? Another one says, why is it wherever I look is sins and averis and crimes? Machloikis, and they get along fine. Va'amar ki rasha machtiris a tzaddik, that the rasha is on a higher position than tzaddik. Va'amar tachrish bavala rasha tzaddik imenu, and Hashem is silent, it seems, when the rasha swallows up the one who is more righteous than he. Va'amar acher, another said, Davna melech, hinei eile rishon v'shalvi oylam hisku chayel, the wicked have peace, tranquil lives. I'm innocent and free of chet, and yet I'm afflicted every day. Another said about his generation, they were tested and escaped. And there's many like this, many psukim that indicate the apparent success and peacefulness of people who are wicked, and the apparent failures and difficulties confronted by tzaddikim. And the Chavos Avavos explains, Achiniach hanov yetshuv bever ilas zeh. The Nevi'im who asked these questions did not explain the answer, b'pnei she'ilas kolechem and tzaddikim hanivchonim, because the reasons behind what happens to these tzaddikim, and the reasons behind why these Rishoyim have it good in this world, Zulas Ilos Acher, no one is like the other one. There's no one answer. The Navi couldn't say this is why, because that only works for this case, and another case will be a different reason. There's different reasons why Tzaddikim may suffer in this world. There's different reasons why Rishoyim will have it good in this world. Therefore, it was basically framed in this context in the Chumash, Hanisterois Lashem Elokeinu, Vaniglos Lanu Vanenu. The secrets are for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Things that are revealed are for us and our children. V'amar Chacham Adam Ozen Shlomo HaMelech said, similar to this, Im Oishek Rosh V'Gazel Mishpat V'Tzedek Tireb Medina Al Titma Alachefetz. When you see things that don't make sense to you, that the poor are being oppressed, and there's no justice in your mind, don't question this. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu writes in the Chumash, the Baruch Hashem says, Hatsur Tom Palo, the Baruch Hashem's ways are perfect. Kol Drachav Mishpat, his ways are just. We don't understand it. We can't figure it out. We can't understand that the Baruch Hashem's ways are inscrutable. But there is a rhyme and a reason. We just don't get it. So the question is, why is it, if it should be that tzaddikim should have it easy because they're proving themselves, they shouldn't have to mishtadl, and yet it doesn't always work out that way, and rishayim seemingly should be busy with mishtadlus, and it's not always like that? This is an old question. The Nevi'im asked the question, and we really don't get the answer. Each one is different. Each one is a separate cheshbon. So we just leave it that the Ribbono Shel Olam knows what he's doing, and he has a reason behind it. Ve'im kol zeh, but nonetheless, I do think I can clarify a little bit that we should have something to go on to explain these inconsistencies. So Chavos Avos is going to tell us a number of reasons why tzaddikim may be punished or suffer in this world, and a number of reasons why Rishayim are rewarded or are successful in this world. So I'll say it like this. Ke'aponim Hashem Bavurom Yimonami at tzaddik is damlas tarpo. The reasons why a tzaddik may not get the parnasa easily that he deserves, until he has to toil and struggle, first of all, the possibility exists that even though he is really a tzaddik now, he wasn't always a tzaddik. And maybe at one time he did a chet. So there's an obligation to pay out for that chet. There's going to be a punishment for that chet, kamosha. Now, like it says, "Hein tzaddik ba'aretz yishulom." The tzaddik in this world, he will pay up his debt, so to speak. V'yesh shi'al derech hatmur ba'olam haba. Sometimes, it's in exchange for a greater share of olam haba. Kamosha kaz, like it says, "Hei tivcha ba'achri secha." So the Ribbono Shel Olam is testing the person in this world, and if he accepts what Hashem does, it's called Yisur Me'ava, and it just earns him greater schar in the next world. V'yesh shilaharos sivlo v'haz barosu ha'toyva b'avor tzabayis barach k'dei sheyilmedu b'nei adam imenu. Sometimes the tzaddik has it difficult, and he still serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he still is loyal to Hashem despite his difficulties. It's a lesson for other people to learn from him. We find this by Iyuv. So sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam brings difficulties upon a tzaddik so that others will learn how to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu properly even with difficulties. V'yesh shiyah l'resha anshe daro v'yibachenu habarius ala ba'oni b'resh b'chaloyim l'haros chasidusuvah d'so l'kim b'baladehem. And sometimes it's a lesson for the Rishoyim, that the Rishonim are being tested when they see that the tzaddik is poor, the tzaddik is sick, the tzaddik is suffering, and he's still a chosid, he's pious, he's loyal, he does it with Hashem. Kmo Shenem, like it says, Achein chol yenu hu nosom achaveinu sevalom, that he carries and bears his difficulties and his pains. So that's a lesson for those who aren't careful with Torah mitzvahs. Sometimes it is a punishment because they were not zealous for the covet shemayim. They did not rebuke their generation. You find this by Eli and his children. The pasuk says, "There'll be no one who remains from the house of Eli, and if they do, they'll be begging to work and for money and for food." And this is because Eli didn't properly rebuke his children. Sometimes there's an onish to a tzaddik because the sins of the generation are on his shoulders. He didn't do something about it. He could have rebuked. He could have guided. He didn't. That's another possibility. There's one thing that, to me, is glaring, missing from Chavos Avos. He's trying to explain why is it that there are tzaddikim v'ra'lo, right? Why are there difficulties for tzaddikim? And this is Moshe Rabbeinu's question and the Nevi'im's question. And he gives another possibilities. Maybe there was a chet. Maybe it's a shir mi'avo. Maybe it's a limud for the dor. Maybe it's a limud for the rishoyim. Maybe it's because he didn't give tochacha when he should have. Different reasons explaining why a tzaddik may have life difficult. But there's a reason that we often discuss, and even though it was made more popular by the Arizal and his Talmidim, there are references to this in the Rishonim, and that is the Indian of Gilgal. Din of Gilgal. This person, the tzaddik, may have done something wrong in a previous Gilgal, and this is the tikkun. The difficulties in this world are the tikkun for what happened in a previous existence. The Ben Ish Chai writes in Parashas Mishpatim, the Ben Ish Chai writes in this week's Parasha, that this is why we find little children that lo aleinu suffer with illnesses, terrible tragedies. Now these children did nothing wrong. There's no chatoyim. And yet we see suffering and we see pain. And the Ben Ish Chai says the way we understand that is that this is a Gilgul from a previous life. And the neshama chose this punishment before he came down to earth. And the handicaps and the difficulties that the child has was actually chosen by the neshama before it came back down. So that's another way to explain when these things are seemingly inconceivable to us, why this is happening. So we have emuna, the neshama has a cheshbon. There is an approach. There's an approach of Gilgal. It's based on Gilgal, what happened before that we are unaware of, and that's why things are playing out the way they are. But the Chovas of Ovis doesn't go that way. Chovas of Ovis does not entertain that possibility. He just gives a pipshat the reasons that we've mentioned. Chovas of Ovis continues, Avot Tovis Akelis Baruch Al HaRosh. Now why would the Ben Ishlam be good to a wicked person? Sometimes he did a mitzvah sometime earlier. The Ben Hashem wants to reward him in this world, like it says, the Ben Hashem is going to reward those who hate him in this world to make sure they're lost in the next. Like the Unkelus explains, the Ben Hashem gives schar to the Rishoyim for their mitzvahs in this world, and then they have no place in the next world. The Yesh, so sometimes the Ben Hashem gives goodness to a Rasha, and it's a pikadon etzlo. It's really a deposit. It's not for him, but it's going to be saved up. Ben Sadik, because the Ben Hashem may give this Rasha a child who's a tzaddik. Yeroylo, and that tzaddik child deserves these things. Kamosh Amar, like it says, Yochin the tzaddik ilbash. He prepares, and the tzaddik gets to wear it. But Amar, the Choyte collects and amasses wealth and then ends up by the one Hashem wants to end up with. So sometimes the Ben Hashem gives wealth to a Rasha so that it's passed on to his descendants that may be tzaddikim. The after, another possibility, that this will actually bring about his downfall. There's a wealth that the Ben Hashem gives to people, and it's actually harmful for them. It causes their death. Maybe he'll use his wealth to indulge in practices that are unhealthy, that will shorten his life. Who knows that if this wealth was helpful to him? For Asher, sometimes the Ben Hashem gives good things to the Rasha in anticipation that eventually he'll do tshuva, and he'll be deserving of it. We find this by Menashe. Sometimes the Rasha benefits from the zechusim, the merits of his ancestors. And the child gets reward based on the parents' actions. You'll see four generations on the throne of Israel. Even though the descendants may not have been worthy. The tzaddik goes faithfully, and the children are fortunate who follow him. And I never saw the tzaddik whose children were forsaken. So too, this can be a case where the ancestors were Rishoyim, but the descendants were tzaddikim. So Ibn Hashem provide for the ancestors for it to make its way down to the descendants. And sometimes the descendants are the pure beneficiaries of the tzidkus of the parents, even if the children are not worthy on their own. V'yesh, also in addition, the possibility exists, shetila nasos anshi hatamis v'matzbunim ha'im, the Ribbono Shel Olam will give good to the Rasha as a test for Rishoyim. Kshem Roim Zem Emaram L'Sur Me'avod Zabori V'choshm L'Sratzos L'An Shem Rishon L'Mu Maseyim. Will they see this as a reason to move away from Kadosh Baruch Hu? Will see his true colors. V'yizbar HaNavar L'Elokim V'yir'eh HaNem Avod Zabori to clarify who is truly trustworthy, loyal to Hashem and who's not. How does he respond? Or how does he act when things go difficult for him? When the Rishonim embarrass him? He'll receive reward if he's loyal. We find this by Eliyahu with Elizevel. We find this by Eliyahu with Izevel and Yemiyahu with the kings of his generation. So sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam makes life pleasant for Rishoyim to see if other people will gravitate towards Rishus, even on the outside. They may appear to be tzaddikim, but if they see the Rasha succeeding, they're going to be like the Rasha. And then you get to see who's truly loyal to Hashem and who's not. So the Rasha, who has things good, becomes the test for other people to see if they indeed are loyal to Hashem. They'll ignore the fact that he's wealthy and won't care about him. Or will they try to be more like the Rasha? And very often, they will disgrace the tzaddikim, and then the tzaddik who maintains his loyalty shows his true colors to the Ribbono Shel Olam, gets schar like Eliyahu Hanavi in his dealings with Izevel, or Yirmiyahu with the kings of his time. V'kevan she'esbar chiyuv ha'gilgul al hasibus abnei adam. So now that we've clarified why the Ribbono Shel Olam makes it necessary for us to mishtadel, and why some people have to mishtadel more than others. Nevar atas, and now I just want to explain. It's not like every person has to try every single hishtadlus for panosa. Ki asibas rabas, there are many different ways to earn a living. Mehem de kalos, some of them are easier with less effort. Kasachor b'chanus, like a merchant in a store. O meleches yad, or someone who's handy and can do craft work, shetarchem ot, so it's less effort. Katafira, like sewing, uke ichui, this is also a type of tailoring. Vahasifros, scribes, veitzer hamischorim, people who are wholesalers. Usechir ha'arisim ha'paralim v'shamashim b'vatzadam, are people who hire workers, contractors, to take care of work on the ground and the like. Then there are other types of jobs that is actually a lot of effort, a lot of work. Ki'ibud ha'oros, like tanners who have to work leather. Or miners who try to extract the precious metals, the iron and the copper from the mountains. The zikuka kesef ha'oros, and those who have to purify the silver from the lead. Those who are porters to carry heavy loads. People have to travel great distances. Not to mention farming, plowing the ground, the kiyotzim, and other things you work on the ground. So there's a range of ways for people to earn a living. And some of them require a lot of effort. Some of them require a skill. If someone is physically strong, but not that smart, so he should take those jobs that have a lot of effort, and you don't have to be so smart to do. What he can bear. Or someone is physically weak but has a keen mind. Don't look for jobs that will make his body weary. He should try to find a job that is easier to do, physically easier, and he can stick to it. So here the Chosos introduces an idea that every person has a desire or an inclination to a specific type of job or work, other to the exclusion of others. The Baruch Hu put this as a nature within him to love this, to like this. We find this by other animals and creatures too. The Baruch Hu made it natural and instinctive for cats to chase after mice. Or the hawk will pursue other birds. Or the animal called an ayol goes after snakes. And there are other types of birds that pursue fish. They go fishing. Pelicans, fish eagle. This is true with all the species of animals. Some want to eat plants. Some want to eat animals. Chutba love the Yosib Limzano. The Baruch Hu made it, whether he's a carnivore or not. And obviously the Baruch Hu made his body suited for the diet that is appropriate. Kapeha Aruch, Vashoka Aruch, La'of, Shut Sad, Asadogim, whether it's the large mouth and the ability for these birds to go and catch fish. Vikashen Hatsiporna Chazak Lari, or the strong teeth and claws of a lion, v'kanayim l'ashar l'ayol, or the horns for the ox and the ayol. You know, I don't quite understand the association with the shar, because the shar eats grass. It's not like he's hunting animals with his horns. V'asha tuchan mezono menetzemech l'nosno klei hatzayil v'terev. Those animals that eat plants aren't given weapons by the Ibarashim with which to hunt. So the animals that are predators are given physical tools with which they can catch their prey. Animals that eat grass and the like don't have them, because the Baruch Hu made the nature to suit that animal. And that's true by people the same. The Baruch Hu made people different. Some people are physically strong, some people are weak, and whether they pursue business versus labor will depend on their constitution. As a person finds that he's drawn to malacha, to hard labor, his body is suited for it, he can bear the burden, so he should go for it. He'll make that his means of panosa. And he'll go through it, whether it's sweet, whether it's bitter. Sometimes he may not find work. He won't be upset. He puts his faith in Hashem. He's doing his ishtalus. His ishtalus is, whether it's farming or trucking or whatever it is, this is his field of ishtalus, and the Baruch will take care of him. V'yichavim betir das liba v'gufa b'sib v'nesivas asib v'leho. And when he's busy with his pursuit of parnasa, he should at the same time make sure lamod b'mitzvah sabarish at siva ha'adam l'sasi b'tzibas ha'olam, that he should make sure to do the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who wants him to be involved in this world for his parnasa, but he has to do it in the proper way. Kavodas ha'adamah v'chavishasa z'riyasa, like those who work the land, plow it and plant it, k'mashe kasov. The put Adam into Gan Eden to work it and to guard it. And he'll use the other creatures to his advantage for panosa, for his food. Build up cities and preparing food for the people in the cities. And to get married and to have children. If he does these things, the pursuit of parnasa, the pursuit of building a home, a community, marriage, and children, and he does it with the intent of doing the Ratzon Hashem, then he'll get schar. He'll be rewarded for that. Whether he achieves his goals or not will make no difference. Like it says, Yigei kapech yisrach ha'shach ha'tov lach. When a person gets to eat the work of his hands, he's fortunate and it's good. Whatever you do should be the Shem Shemayim. Your actions should be for the sake of heaven. And you should have full faith in Hashem and full reliance on Hashem. And the fact that he has to make his shtadlus will not be harmful. As long as he's doing it with the proper mindset, that he's doing it for the sake of heaven. So as he said at the beginning, people have to work for their food, people have to work to have a home, people have to get married and have families and children. All these things take effort, and if he does it with the intent that I'm doing the Ratzon Hashem, that's what Hashem wants me to do, then he'll be fine. And he should never think that his panosa depends on one specific ishtadlus. And if that doesn't work out, or that job opportunity comes to a dead end, that he has no other way to get panosa. That's not true. He has to put his trust in the Kaddish Baruch Hu. He'll get panosa, but he has to know. By the Baruch Shalom, all the different types of ishtadlus are the same. The Baruch Hu will provide what he wants, when he wants. Meza in his yirtze, in whichever way he wants. It's not like the Baruch Hu is limited. The Baruch Hu isn't held back from providing little or a lot. The Baruch Hu is one who gives us the koyach to amass our wealth. It's not with your physical strength, it's not with your might, it's with the Ruach of Hashem, so says Rebbe Hashem. So, in the world of Ishtadlus, Chavos Vavos tells us, there are many different types of Ishtadlus that a person can pursue. Most people are drawn to specific things, and that's fine. And you'll make Ishtadlus in the areas that you are drawn to, that's perfect. If a specific area doesn't work out, so then you'll try something else. It's not like the Rebbe Hashem is limited in finding getting you the parnasa. You have to make your ishtadlus, and this is true in everything that you endeavor in this world, whether it's for parnasa, whether it's for family, whether it's for home and the like. So there's a machloikis that Meshivas Mavrocha would tell us, if Weinberg would tell us, he had a disagreement with his brother, Noach. You have to make your ishtadlus. Chosavovitz describes physical labor, crafts. What about buying a lottery ticket? Can I fulfill my obligation of ishtadlus by buying a lottery ticket? I don't know if this is true. I think it's written down someplace. I'm svarim. Rav Zundel from Salant would buy the lottery ticket and say he has now fulfilled his chayv ishtadlus. I've done my ishtadlus. And supposedly, this is a mahalach. Rav Noach Weinberg said, yep, that's ishtadlus. If you understand that the Baruch Hashem runs the world and he has the way to provide for you no matter what, so even buying a lottery ticket would be ishtadlus. Rav Shimon ben Vocha disagreed and he said it is not ishtadlus to buy a lottery ticket. If you're ever tempted to buy a lottery ticket, you could think about what I'm going to tell you now. I'll also just suggest, if you think about this, many people have put in tickets for auctions for various organizations. It's fundraisers, and it's nice, and it's fun, and it's mutter, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. I'm not here to say you shouldn't do that. And the odds of winning in those events are what? 1 in 1,000? Better than 1 in 1,000? 1 in 500? 1 in 400? You know, what are the how many people put in for those specific prize? And how often do you win? If you don't win when it's 1 in 500 or 1 in 1,000, why do you think you're going to win when it's 1 in 200 million? So even though, yeah, it's nice, the prize is millions and millions of dollars, but let's get real here. Do you win when it's 1 in 1,000? You don't buy the ticket because you're going to win. You buy the ticket because it's a mitzvah to support the organization. It'd be nice if I win, but I don't expect to win. And most of the time, we don't win. So when you don't win when it's 1 in 1,000, you think you can win when it's 1 in 200 million? That's silly. Anyways, getting back to the machlekes. So Rav Noach Weinberg said that yes, buying a lottery ticket is ishtadlus. Rav Shimon ben Vocha said it's not ishtadlus. So why isn't it ishtadlus? Why isn't it ishtadlus? I made my effort. If the Baruch Hashem wants me to win, I'll win. Right? Says the Rosh Hashiva, Hishtadlus is when I put in my effort for my panosa, and then the Baruch Hashem will provide for me. But by buying a lottery ticket, I'm telling God, this is how I want you to give me my panosa. That's what buying a lottery ticket is. When I go to work and do my work, I know I'm doing my work. I do my shtar, so Hashem will take care of me. Buying a lottery ticket is giving Hashem instructions. This is how I want you to take care of me. So that's not hashtalos. That's giving Hashem orders. We don't give Hashem orders. We take orders. That was his mahalach. He felt buying a lottery ticket, saying, that's my hashtalos. That's time to be banish them. Okay, Hashem, this is it. This is how you got to take care of me. It's not how it works. We don't give Hashem instructions. So his position was, that's not, you can't buy a lottery ticket and say, I did my hashtalos. That's not hashtalos. Hishtalus is pursuing panosa in the normal means of panosa. You get a job and you work hard, and the Baruch Hashem take care of you. That's hishtalus. But to give Hashem instructions, this is it, this is how you're going to take care of me, that doesn't work. Again, Rav Noach disagreed with him, and maybe Rav Zundel from Slant did, I'm not sure. But that the Marashiva's position was, we don't give Hashem orders. And buying a lottery ticket is basically giving Hashem instructions, giving Hashem orders. So this concept, this idea, really could be applied to many different things in our lives, that we have to understand that we don't give Hashem instructions, we don't give Hashem orders. We're the ones who take the orders. We're the ones who follow instructions. When we daven to Ribono Shel Olam, so we daven for panosa. We daven a baruch and a panosa. We daven for all kinds of things. We're supposed to daven. But we have to know that when we daven, we're not giving Hashem orders. We don't say, Hashem, I need this taken care of today. Here's my list for today. These are the things you got to do for me today. That's not how you daven to Ribono Shel Olam. You can daven to Ribono Shel Olam. Ribono Shel Olam, I need this and I rely on you. How you do it, how you take care of it, that's the Ribono Shel Olam's business. I need panosa, I need refuah, I need a shidduch, I need whatever it is I need. These are what I need. But we don't go tell the Ribono Shel Olam, I want you to make sure this happens today, this is on my list for today, make sure you take care of it. It's not how it works, it's not how you daven. It's not how we talk to Ribono Shel Olam, that's not how we daven. Hishtadlus is, we do our part. We are mispalel that the Ribono Shel Olam give us hatzlach in what we're doing. And the Ribono Shel Olam will take care of it the way he takes care of it. We know that many times we put our efforts in one area and we get results from an area totally unexpected. It's perfectly normal, it happens all the time. We put our efforts in area A and all of a sudden we get success out of the blue from area B. You needed the hishtadlus in area A. You had to do your hishtadlus. But where the results come from doesn't always come from where you put your hishtadlus. It might come from someplace else. That's the Baruch Hashem's business. The Baruch Hashem will deal with it how he sees fit. We're not locking the Baruch Hashem in to say, okay, this is what I'm doing. I got to get my panosa from this. I mean, that's not how it works. You got to do yours, and the rest is in Hashem's hands. And that's how it is with everything. We have to understand that everything's in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands. We trust in Hashem. We rely on Hashem. We got to do our hishtadlus. Why do we got to do our shtadlus? To show that we follow halacha, to show we do kedasu kedin, to make sure we don't get involved in things we shouldn't get involved in, like the Chovas Ovis says. Where the results come from, that's a whole different story. That's up to Hashem. We don't give Hashem instructions. The Ribono Shel Olam is not limited, not, like he says at the end, it's not like the Ribono Shel Olam is limited only to get you from this area to help you out. The Ribono Shel Olam has his own cheshbonis of how it's going to come about, how you're going to succeed, how you're going to achieve. That's the Baruch Hashem's cheshbon, and not our cheshbon. Our cheshbon is we just have to do. So it's just important, the way Marashiva said, is not to lock your hishtadlus into a bitachon where you're basically focusing on one specific thing, like the lottery ticket. If you buy the lottery ticket and do nothing else, there's no guarantee you're going to win that lottery ticket. You're going to win the lottery. And it's not even clear that should be called hishtadlus at all. You're just submitting yourself to the statistical possibility of winning or losing, and of course the odds are against you. Another way we used to say it was, if someone spent $1 on a lottery ticket, and someone came to me and said, you know, I'll buy your ticket for $10. So will you sell the ticket? Most people will. Bought for one, sell for 10, that's a good deal. Ah, you can win $20 million. You know you're not going to win $20 million. $10 for $1, it's a good deal. So that shows your bitachon isn't in that lottery ticket anyway. And it shouldn't be. Why should it be in the lottery ticket? Why would you be bitachon in a lottery ticket? So in any event, this is, I'll leave it as a machlokas, but it makes sense to me what the Rosh Yeshiva said.